the Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro, Deco Retro.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to the Deco Retro program. Today, you're with Philippa, and I'm recording this program from home, so let's hope there aren't too many glitches. These are strange and unsettling times. With the deadly coronavirus continuing to wreak havoc around the world, I find watching the news these days a very sobering experience. It beggars belief that so many of the world's great cities have now ground to a halt. Their streets all but empty, everything shut down. No sign of life apart from the intermittent screeching of sirens and people queuing patiently for supplies. Without all that hustle and bustle, these once vibrant cities are now strangely silent and withdrawn. They've become ghost cities. Cities without a pulse. To contemplate the enormity of it all is overwhelming, and for many of us the long-term implications are only now beginning to be realised. I do feel sorry for the younger generation who may now face an uncertain future, and for whom the optimism of youth could now be replaced with lost dreams and frustrated ambitions. If you turn back the pages of history, there have always been pandemics or epidemics of one kind or another. The one that conjures up dark images of human suffering and degradation is the Black Death, the bubonic plague that ravaged Europe in the Middle Ages. It killed one third of Europe's inhabitants and changed the course of history. In the Shakespearean tragedy Romeo and Juliet, Mercutio calls out three times a dying man's curse, a plague of both your houses. To the Elizabethans, such a curse was ominous and certain to be fulfilled, and the word plague still has the power to instill fear in the human psyche today. Is thought to have its origins in Central Asia in 1338 and 1339. From there it spread out eastwards into China, south to India, and west to the Crimea some 8 years later. The plague bacillus, Pastorella pestis, is believed to have been carried in the stomach of the flea, residing in the hair of the Manchurian marmot, and of course the rat. Some possibilities as to what caused a rodent migration with a massive exodus of the black rat in the middle of the 14th century include floods, prolonged drought, or a rodent population explosion. The arrival of infested rats certainly helped the rapid spread of the bubonic plague in Europe during the years 1348 and 1349, probably carried there on the ships of the returning crusaders, infecting sailors who then brought it ashore. The medieval chroniclers described the symptoms of bubonic plague in its original form. It was named bubonic because of the buboes, or swelling that usually grew in the groin, but sometimes the armpit or the neck. The bubo was a distinguishing characteristic. It could be small or the size of an orange, and was accompanied by agonizing pain. In this final form of the disease, a spreading rash would appear on the skin. It took between 4 to 6 days for the victim to die. Although bubonic plague was the first and most conspicuous form of the Black Death, there were two other variants. The second and most infectious variant, pneumonic or pulmonary plague, was even more lethal, and recovery was virtually unknown. It attacks the lungs, causing bronchopneumonia and blood-stained sputum. Infection being spread by coughing and sneezing. The victim would die within 1 to 8 days. The third lethal variant is septicemic plague, in which the infection spreads so rapidly through the bloodstream that death can follow within 24 hours. There were reports of people who went peacefully to bed and were found dead the next morning. No wonder the bubonic plague filled people with fear and revulsion. Such was the unbearable stench their bodies gave off. The sick became objects of detestation and were often abandoned to their fate. The young were particularly vulnerable to the 14th century Black Death. I never realized, even though I can remember singing it as a child, that this nursery rhyme dates back to about 1348 and was a plague rhyme. It goes, ring a ring a rosies, a pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down. A rosy rash was one of the symptoms of plague. Posies of herbs were carried as protection and to ward off the smell of plague victims. Sneezing and coughing was a final, fatal symptom. And, of course, all fall down enacted the victim's final collapse and death. People in the Middle Ages found the plague and the terrifying speed with which it passed from person to person both devastating and totally incomprehensible. Many were convinced that it was divine retribution for man's wrongdoing and evil ways. By the end of 1346, the major European seaports were aware that a catastrophic plague was raging in the east, and in October 1347, it arrived in Sicily. The infection was brought to the port of Messina by 12 Genoese galleys. Where they had been prior to their arrival is unknown. The infection was probably borne by rats and fleas, but also infected sailors. Within a few days, the plague had spread, with hundreds of victims dying every day. The people of Messina fled in panic from their doomed city, carrying the plague with them throughout the countryside. Many fled to the neighbouring city of Catania and were soon repulsed when Catanians realised the scale and nature of the disaster and introduced strict immigration controls. This same pattern of behaviour was repeated all over Europe, but failed to prevent the continued spread of the plague. After ravaging Sicily, the plague arrived in Genoa and Venice in January 1348, quickly spreading to central and northern Italy. This then was the beginning of the bubonic plague's deadly rampage throughout the whole of Europe. From Sicily, it also spread to North Africa, Corsica, Sardinia, Spain, and southern Italy. Only a month or two later, the Black Death arrived in Marseille, France, again with the arrival of an infected galley. By June 1348, it had crossed into Germany and also England by way of Malcolm Regis, the first English town to receive the Black Death at the end of June 1348. Climate change might have contributed to the devastation caused by the Black Death. By the middle of the 13th century, Europe was experiencing a population explosion, putting pressure on existing resources. The production of food had grown also, but demand had outgrown supply. Farming practices contributed to the problem by failing to let fields lie fallow or rotate crops, resulting in erosion and poor soil quality. Climate also played a major part in the 70 and 50 years before the Black Death, with high rainfall causing floods, intense cold, and lack of sun, resulting in crop failure. The lack of sun also hindered the production of salt by evaporation, making it difficult to conserve meat. Almost every country lost the whole of one, sometimes two or three harvests, and England suffered a series of famines, with wheat more than doubling in price. The poor ate dogs, cats, and it is even thought that some resorted to cannibalism. Wars and civil disorders broke out in France, Spain, and Italy. That and the famine made life barely tolerable for the bulk of Europe's malnourished population. The scene was now set for an even more devastating disaster, the onslaught of the Black Death in 1348. Caused by the Black Death was immense, in particular the breakdown of law and order. Some people took flight, abandoning kinsfolk and sometimes even their children. Others gathered together, drank and made merry with reckless abandon. The stench of putrefying bodies was everywhere, and corpses were piled into mass graves. The Black Death did, however, bring about social change. In England, it helped speed up the decay of the manorial system. It caused a shortage of labour to tend the land, and the lord of the manor was now forced to free up his land for tenants to rent as pasture. And also, there was a loss of faith and trust in the church amongst the population. This saw the church lose much of its power and prestige. There was also more tension between rich and poor in England. Though there are various theories, we are still uncertain as to how the 14th century bubonic plague came to be known as the Black Death. Another outbreak, the Great Plague of London, took place in 1665. Samuel Pepys mentions it in his famous diary. He noticed two or three houses in Drury Lane marked with red crosses upon the doors. The plague, despite all attempts to keep it out, had come to town, brought over from Holland, where it had been raging the previous year. By the 21st of June 1665, the streets were full of coaches and wagons, packed with goods and people, rumbling over the cobbles for the country. Samuel Pepys, having sent his mother with Elizabeth and her two maids to safer lodgings, remained in London. He put his estate in order and prepared himself for death. Yet, instead of dying, he lived. The departure of all the great world from London made life easier, and he began to enjoy himself. He wrote in his diary on the 31st of December that year, "I have never lived so merrily as I have done this plague time." By the second week of July, the mortality from plague had reached 1,000. Pepys knew this and was afraid, but life continued on as before. By the end of August, the death toll had risen to over 6,000. Corpses were carried openly through the streets in the daytime, and there were no boats upon the river. Pepys remained quietly at Seething Lane, making his way, a little fearfully, through the stricken streets. In his letters to others, he made much of the horror, the uncanny silence of the streets, the gruesome stories. But, as the pages of his diary show, he did not let it interfere with his business. Samuel Pepys, his family, and most of his relations survived the plague, apart from Mrs. Pepys' Aunt Bell. When I was living in London in the 1960s, it was rumoured that a tunnel to create a new tube station had to be diverted so as not to disturb an ancient burial site for plague victims. Fascinating, but a bit spooky, don't you think? Distance didn't save us from the terrible 1918 influenza pandemic called the Spanish flu. This vicious pandemic killed tens of millions worldwide. It began just as World War I was drawing to a close. Soldiers returning home from the war brought the virus with them. It killed 9,000 New Zealanders, 2,500 of whom were Maori. To date, it remains New Zealand's worst natural disaster in terms of mortality. It also caused huge disruption to everyday life. Unfortunately, the Great Depression of the 1930s was to follow. And on that cheerful note, I will now finish. Let's just hope that history doesn't repeat itself. Footnote. New Zealand's first, one and only plague victim was Hugh Charles Kelly of Upper Queen Street, who died on the 22nd of June 1900.
enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/DecoRetro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Modern, Art Deco Society Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Modern. For more information, email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.